is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good Sunday morning. That's the way you got to start. It's only 8 o'clock Sunday morning. No yelling. I'm excited to be here, but I don't want to shock people into waking up. Welcome to Backspin Golf here, the Square Country Club in downtown Lexington. I will be on the first tee later out at Kearney, my home course, Picadome yesterday. We are so lucky to have Lexington Parks and Rec and the five great golf courses we have here. Unbelievably lucky. Today on the show, Perry French, of course, will join me. And then our buddy Trevor Riesk from up in Washington, D.C., he's a new dad. He's got a month-old baby, so he's been watching a lot of TV. I want to talk to him about that. Not playing so much golf, I want to talk to him about that. He'll join us. And then I had the pleasure of talking on Friday to Jeff Babineau, who is the senior golf writer for Golf Week magazine and just one of the best in the business. And I spoke to him on Friday because he lives right outside Orlando. So hopefully yesterday afternoon and last night and today he's okay. As he put it, he didn't know if he'd be underwater. So we spoke on Friday about a lot of different things. He just got back from a great golf trip in Ireland. We talked about that, the FedEx Cup, the President's Cup for a minute, and it was fantastic. So you'll hear from Jeff Babineau a little later in the show. Before we get to the show, I just want to talk about something that got a lot of airtime because I'm speaking of Stacey Lewis and her victory in Portland on the LPGA Tour last week. She got a lot of recognition, not because first tournament she's won, the former world number one in 3 years. But before the tournament, she said she would donate her entire winnings, whatever it was, to Hurricane Harvey relief. And so when she won, it was fantastic. She played great golf for the 4 days. Her husband, who was not supposed to be there, surprised her and flew in. And when she walked off the 18th green, it was very emotional, not only because she had won and she knew she was going to be able to give the money she won to Hurricane Harvey, but having her husband there, the whole scene was really something special. So congratulations to Stacey Lewis. We have the week off, obviously, this week. Next week we'll start the last two rounds of the FedEx Cup. We'll talk about that and much more right here. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
I have to get my voice ready because anytime I talk to Perry French, Perry French! I don't know what that little thing at the end. I don't know. There was kind of a Sammy, but yeah. No, it was Vegas, 50s Vegas,
okay.
Kind of thing.
That's good.
It actually was Nick Rivers, the character Billy Murray used to play on Saturday Night Live. Yes. Remember that guy when he would sing? That's who it was. Hi, Perry French.
Good day.
Srixon, Cleveland.
Got some neat things happening there. When you mentioned my company, we got some new products coming out.
Like what?
What? We're a wedge company, first of all. And the new wedge is launching. Yeah, the new CBX.
Now, I've seen the commercials already, right?
Right, right. We're rolling it out. It starts this week, and it'll hit the stores and shops. And
this wedge is so good that if you don't hole out every shot, hit, whether it's from 118 or whether you're chipping,
it's something's wrong with you because this wedge.
We've
is
always
just...
talked about the importance of the short game. That's, yes. You know, as you know, that's my my go-to stuff.
As a matter of fact, Michael Breed,
yes,
on his Golf Fix, I taped them so I can watch them. One night did an hour on inside the scoring zone, and he started from 100 yards and had four sections of 175 chipping and putting.
Well, and we talked about good. Just that. And
he's not as good as you, by the way.
Oh, listen. But, the stats that are out there, PGA Tour, number one player on the PGA Tour, distance from the hole from 100 yards is 18.7 feet. So don't beat yourself up. They're not hitting it that close with the even from 100 yards.
Who is it? Do you know? Do you remember?
I don't remember the top of my head because it was from 2 weeks ago when we were doing stats.
And somebody that's really good.
Well, yeah, but that's 18.7 feet. Right. Doesn't sound like a lot of...
No, because if we hit it,
stuffing,
well,
but he does hit it in there close.
If I hit it 20 feet left of the pin, I'm pretty happy.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal with the new wedge. Okay. Right. Most players have a set of clubs that are cavity back irons.
Okay.
84% of the golfing public. Huh. Okay. This being said, when you go to buy your wedges to match your set, some people choose to buy the gap wedge that matches their existing set, whatever the make and brand.
Right.
That's good because it's a, you know, there's a constancy of the product and how it's designed. You want to do that, people. You want to keep your set compositions flowing together. And some even get a sand wedge, but most players after that have a kind of a hodgepodge. They have an old wedge that they've had for 10 years, which you need to get rid of because there's how many groove spins left. And they have the other wedge that they think they want to play. It's the tour wedge. It's the blade. And, and it's really doesn't fit their game as best it should. So we talk about your iron set. We're going to talk about your wedge set. Getting a set of wedges that match your skill set and match the way you typically strike most of your shots.
Right.
That's where when people are buying equipment, that's what you have to buy. Everybody likes to look at the blades, but you don't hit the ball in the center of the golf club.
Nobody, you can't, everybody listening here, there might be three guys that are playing blades.
So you want feedback from where you're hitting it, then go ahead and beat yourself up and keep buying blades.
Right.
But for the most part, we want enough forgiveness to give us our quarter-inch off center shots go just the distance we were expecting and fairly close to the desired target.
Right.
Well, with wedges, it's the same thing, even though we're less than 100 yards into the green. And that's where it even becomes more important, right? Because you're less than 100 yards to the green. Your expectation should be get on the green somewhere, goal number one.
Yeah.
Goal number two, obviously, as close as you can and improve your consistency on getting the ball inside of a certain range on average. Again, 18 feet, it's not a great stuffing of every wedge shot they hit, but they're hitting a lot of greens and hitting a high percentage in that 100 yards in. That's what you got to work on. The new CBX wedge is designed for players who are basically 10-plus handicappers who have a propensity to hit their wedges on the toe, which if you look at your impact after you hit your wedge shots and the ball falls in the front bunker because you're screaming for it to get up and it lands in the front bunker instead of on the green or pin high, and you look down at your golf club, there's a little green mash
out it's
toe-to-toe center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, that's just because of the way the golf club and the way you strike it and the way the club is built doesn't have as much forgiveness out there. Well, we've built the wedge that designs and pushes the weight towards the toe to create a moment of inertia that keeps the club face resistance.
Okay, I'm getting it. This is totally. Okay. How many times have I said to you, I'm not hitting my wedge. How many times have I said that?
Well, at the end of the round, that's what you go, I missed the green. I said, I made a bogey from 100 yards in or 50 yards. You're par five.
I'm familiar with that phrase.
You've hit two good shots in the par five, and this is where the best players eat up golf courses. They get it up and down because it's a short up and down, and we end up making a bogey or even a double because you really mishit the shot, and then now it's trouble in River City because of the water in front of the green, depending on the golf course. This wedge is designed to help most all players. And what you don't see on the sole design, in the V sole that has the wider toe, is that the club works through into the turf in all kinds of conditions, whether it's a perfect line in the fairway or a scruffy line in the rough or off the hard pan and out of the bunker. And that's where we've designed a wedge that fits most all conditions.
Wow.
And you don't have to guess which bounce you need. We've, again, designed the toe to flow that through the turf and conditions and stabilizing the club face at impact. And that's where most players struggle, and that the ball doesn't go the desired distance.
Right.
That's the first thing. I always come up short with my wedges. Well, number one, maybe take another club.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
one.
Take more club. Take one more club is all you need. Right. Going from a 52 to a 48 or a pitching wedge, it can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 7 to 10 yards, which is about the most you're going to hit those two clubs differently.
Right.
Can be lost by the off-center shot.
And it's going to keep you from landing in the bunker short or just even being on the front edge
of
the green.
If the ball carries that bunker, it could bounce forward and go up to the in the hole, for God's sakes.
Right.
But that 2 or 3 yards is a huge miss on approaches.
Right.
A game of inches, right? And that's what it is. So this wedge is great. We're excited about it. It's a totally different wedge that we've ever introduced. We've had cavity back wedges in the past, but they were mostly just an expansion of our blade wedge with a little bit more face area, but not a real significant difference for that player. This, when you play it in the position, it looks great. It has the face groove design of our RTX Tour wedge, so you're not giving up any spin options and control, and you're going to give that player that ability to really mishit a wedge and still have a good shot. And again, missing a wedge a quarter inch off center doesn't sound like much, but it's five or 6 yards short of
how soon can I get
them? They're launching on the 15th of this month, so it'll be next week.
Couple
and you'll have one in your bag before then because you know the rep.
Okay, yeah, but I can never get a hold of him. That's the problem. He's always so busy.
No, that's good. So that's what we're out doing right now. We're showing, getting ready to launch that product, and I look forward to seeing some people hit it. I've had some people hit a few of the demos, and the feedback has been really solid, and,
awesome.
And people like the way it feels, and they like the way it looks. And again, if you're a 10-plus handicapper, I know you want to look at something that's clean, and that we give you that, but we also need to have something that gives you the performance and forgiveness.
Yeah, so every time you get out of the cart or you're walking up to your shot, you pull that
club. It'll be fun. This is a fun time of year because new products coming out.
Right.
A lot of manufacturers are bringing out new products as well. And we're getting ready for winter. And unfortunately, that's the case. We're getting ready for fall golf, which is the best time of year.
Right.
And then
it's
football, and that's people stop playing golf to watch football and tailgate and all the good stuff that goes with that. And you may not play as many rounds of golf. So when you go out to play, you kind of get yourself ready in a quick hurry. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of players. We talked about it last time with, you know, not playing as well as you like to each week. Well, this is the time of year where you have to do some things to keep yourself playing better golf.
Like what?
I like swing training aids. My favorite is the orange whip, where you can literally take it to your backyard and just swing for 15 or 20 minutes on a beautiful sunny Sunday morning, but you're going to go watch football and not play golf.
Right.
Spend 15, 20 minutes a day doing that. Putting inside putting rugs are great. You can get those small chipping nets that you can put in your backyard in a little
that
piece
would be
of turf.
Good for me.
A little piece of AstroTurf, or you know, again, it's all kind of a combo deal. And you pitch 20-yard pitch shots. Most of us can find 20 yards in your
right.
And the practice is that you're just getting yourself, keeping yourself connected to that motion of launching the ball and controlling your distance to pitching into the net.
Right.
Now, don't go pitching it towards your house with plate glass windows in case you miss hit one. But use the
neighbor's house.
Yeah. And guess what? You can use wiffle balls or the like. They're making some great pseudo golf balls now, you know, and use those to create dynamic launch and lift, but not going to danger anybody who's in the path of an errant shot or, you know, and they're less likely to do that. So,
So
that's good stuff. There's things to do. So don't let the weather deter you to the fact that you're too busy, whether you want other things you want to go do. You can still keep yourself active. And of course, the last piece of the puzzle is you got some great ranges to go to, Man of War Golf, and where you can hit balls, Athens Golf, and you can go hit balls all the time. They have indoor coverage, you know, and you can dodge the bad weather. Or when it's good weather, take an hour, and that'll be a huge way to keep your game in shape. And if it's not, at least go out and hit some, you know, live putts and chips and, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right. Because before we know it, it'll be...
You'll be doing basketball.
I will be doing basketball.
And as fun as that is...
Backspin will be taking our hiatus.
Right. Are we done after the President's Cup?
A couple months. No, I think we go a little bit longer.
Okay.
But
well, golf is great through October here. Great weather.
Is.
And then it gets a little...
Dicey. And then...
But you got to keep yourself around the game so that when you do get a chance to play, when the weather breaks in November, December, January, you're out.
All right. And watching golf is not the same thing. Like, I keep myself around it.
Is that called osmosis? You kind of see it.
I mean, I could watch things like the Golf Fix.
Yeah. And that's good. And
it is, but
you should keep yourself.
Yeah, but
the problem with the Golf Fix, and I say this only because it's very general. And it might not be directly related to your pot, because there's lots of ways to slice the ball or hit it fat.
Correct.
And yes. if you're also, it's a good time maybe to take some lessons and work on your game and try to reshape it where your playing is not your impetus.
Focus.
You want to go out and practice, and that's where you just focus on practicing for the 3 months or so of winter.
All right. Well,
play some golf.
I'll see you next week. All right.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Well, on this week's episode of Backspin Golf, two of my favorite people, Jeff Babineau from Golf Week, will be joining me. And now my buddy Trevor Riesk will talk to us from Washington, D.C. No hurricanes that we know of going up to D.C. as opposed to Babineau and all our friends in Florida that we're keeping in our thoughts. But new daddy Trevor Riesk joins us now. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks, man. First of all, you peeps, you can follow him on Twitter at Trevor Riesk, TrevorReaske. And, you know, I always just associate you with Tap In Golf, and that's tapingolf.com. I always associate you with that, but you also do stuff with SB Nation.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
They are... We're on our regular show, Matthew and Mikey, we use people from SB Nation all the time. There's just such a great group of people with SB Nation.
Yeah, a lot of really talented writers and a lot of people with a lot of great insight, not just for golf, but
for everything.
You know, across the sports landscape.
Yeah,
definitely.
Including you, pal.
I don't want to.
Yeah, well, you're too humble to say that, but you know, right. I'll say it for you. All right. Before we get into a little bit of a discussion about the President's Cup, the teams obviously were chosen, the two picks were made by both sides, and the first couple rounds of the FedEx Cup playoff, there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about that were on your Twitter feed.
All right.
First of all, on the 31st of August, Tiger Woods put up a 28-second clip where he says, "Doctor gave me the okay to start pitching." And it shows him hitting a pitch shot standing next to the green. And then the next day, you, baby gave, now you have a one-month-old, baby gave me the okay to start pitching. And you have what I have to say is perfect form on that chip shot. I mean, I knew you could play, but I mean, it's beautiful.
I can still work on it.
It's beautiful to watch. Is that... Has the baby just given you the okay to start pitching, or pretty much you can't like actually go and play 18? You got to just do some pitching drills and then get back to baby duty?
Not so much the baby as my wife has given me the okay to start pitching.
Okay.
You know, I think she has realized that long before the baby came, but golf is a good stress reliever for me, so mm-hmm. In an effort to keep me from going insane with the new baby and not sleeping, she's actually let me play golf a few times, so
that's awesome.
She's been really good about that, and my game is, you know, not where it should be, obviously, but it's been nice to get some fresh air for a few hours and get out of the house, so I think it helps in the long run, actually.
Actually, when Everett, my oldest, was born 13 years ago, within 3 months, I went from a 5 handicap to a 13. So,
don't tell me that.
You know, well, I'm just saying, but that's me. I wasn't as good as you to begin with. So, you know, and here's the other question I have for you. Golf is a stress reliever for you? I'm doing it wrong. I knew it. I'm doing it wrong.
Well, obviously there are parts that are stressful, but I think just getting out there with the guys.
Yeah.
Walking 18 and having a beer afterwards, I think that's the part of it that's a stress reliever. Grinding over 3-foot par putts is obviously stressful, but
it's a different kind of stress.
All the time anyway. So.
Yeah, I know. I just thought that was awesome. And here's the other thing that I picked up on Twitter, and then we'll get to some actual golf talk. You said, and I thought this was very funny, that having a newborn and you're up in the middle of the night a lot of times, you get to watch every infomercial that's on television.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite one?
Well, there was one I saw the other day where I think that's what I tweeted about was it's like a device to help you put your socks on.
Oh yeah,
You put it over this piece of plastic and then you shove your foot in the plastic.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to. I don't know about you, but I don't really have a lot of trouble putting my socks on. And people in the infomercial look relatively young and healthy and fit.
Yeah.
So I don't know who this product appeals to, but I'm not going to be buying one, but I was intrigued. And then on the Golf Channel, you know this. I mean, even during the day, there's all these wacky clubs and products and things that'll improve, you know,
everything.
And Caney tells you you can gain 20 yards on your drive and cut off 10 strokes.
Yeah.
And there's all these devices and DVDs that you can watch. I mean, it's just overload. So I had to switch to a different channel.
Yeah.
And I found that the infomercials are just as good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Amusing is the word I would use.
That's right.
And actually, when you said that, I flashed on Tin Cup. And one of my favorite parts of that movie is when Rene Russo goes into Kevin Costner's trailer and he's got 8 different aids on. He's got that putting thing around his head and all the stuff he has on. That's what it always reminds me of.
And I'm sure you could buy all of that stuff if you watch Golf Channel enough.
I'm sure you could. Yep. All right, let's get to some actual golf talk. President's Cup teams are now set. I know what I wanted to ask you. I was reading about the President's Cup and the picking of the teams, and I guess I knew this, but when to see it in print, this President's Cup team in 2017, the actual points process started, it said, September 15th, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy, or is that not absolutely absurd?
I think it's a bit much, and I think... what ends up happening is you get a guy that, you know, a year and a half ago was playing really well and kind of just camps out towards the top of the standings. You know, I don't have the exact numbers, and I'm not sure that it happened this year, but you could get a guy that kind of just plays really well a year and a half ago and is not in great form right now, and he's on the team, which kind of hurts the overall team. I've always been an advocate of just make all of the picks a captain's pick instead of a points qualifying system.
Right.
Just because, you know, you think about like a couple years ago at the Ryder Cup in 2014, Billy Horschel was playing fantastic golf and didn't make the team, you know, on points.
Right.
So obviously these are two different systems, but I think for
same
both
idea,
international
though.
Competitions.
Right.
It's just got to be the captain picks his team, and that's the team that you go with. I think there's a big support for that among the golf community, but will it change? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think the ones that are hurting the most are the European team now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple guys on the United States team, but for the most part, it's a very strong team, I think, and you know, but the Europeans, some of their guys have had really bad stretch of the last few months, and they're on the team because of their point thing,
I think you just have the captain pick a team.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're playing backyard football or something.
Right.
You pick the best guys and go with that. I don't know why it has to be so complicated.
Yeah, me too. Well, I love all these kind of competitions and...
team golf is great.
Even
like the NCAA championships earlier this year. I mean, stuff like that is just fantastic.
Yeah, and as an added bonus, this competition is going to be played in the New York area.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, as a New Yorker, I can say it's a good thing I'm not up there because some things might be yelled by me.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how the course holds up. You know, when they had the FedEx Cup playoff event at Liberty National, I think it got kind of mixed reviews among the players.
Yeah.
But I think in a match play setting, it's going to be fantastic. And obviously, if you know anything about Liberty National, just the views from the golf course and the scenery around it is going to be pretty awesome.
Yep. And, of course, we got that coming up in a couple weeks. The guys have had a week off, a break in between the first two and the last two FedEx Cup events, and they've been pretty good. The first two were pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you get the best 120 players in the world or whatever it is.
Right.
And, so you're going to have stacked leaderboards, and you're going to have the best guys from the season, which, you know, a lot of people are maybe not that into the FedEx Cup. That's what that's what I love the most about it, is you get top five right now is Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Matsuyama, John Rahm, the guys that are having the best years and playing the best, you know, so it's, and, you know, the fact that they're playing the best, they're going to be at the top of the leaderboard, you know, and it's cool to see these guys kind of go at it, whereas a regular tour stop, you know, maybe Jordan Spieth won't play, or Matsuyama's off that week. These guys are all on top of their game and competing for a pretty substantial prize.
Yeah, and it's coming up the next 2 weeks, as always, they're just fantastic. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining. I hope this gave you a little stress relief just sitting and talking. we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks and keep getting your thoughts. I always love having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, see you, man.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Here we are sitting here in beautiful Lexington. Nice weather. And on the phone with me now, who I always love talking to, and I'm one of his biggest fans, and he has many, is Jeff Babineau, who's there kind of in the Orlando vicinity, and we're just grateful that, as he put it, he's not underwater and could talk to us today. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, we had your hurricane namesake visit us last year, and now we have Irma bearing down, so I hope we do pretty well with her.
Don't you think it's time to change how they pick names for these things? There has to be some better way. Irma doesn't sound that bad, you know, Harvey.
Yeah, Irma sounds like a nice old lady.
Yeah, Harvey and all is good. We have to do something about that. But I'm speaking to you on, this is Friday, because Sunday we really don't know what's going to. Have they told you when this is expected to come through?
I think we're going to start feeling it Saturday afternoon and then through the morning into Sunday and even parts of Monday. Just such a big storm, so who knows? You know, I mean, I kind of laugh watching these tracks, but the last one had it going right up through the center of Florida, which is where we are, and that's kind of a little daunting.
Yeah, it is. But as you said, I didn't realize there were four of them in 2004.
Yeah, we had four come through here in 2004, and then we had last year. You know, Matthew came up the coast and canceled the Web.com finals up near Jacksonville. Storm hadn't hit there in a long, long, you know, almost a century. So, yeah, I guess it's something we deal with this time of year. It's our price we pay for those nice, long winters.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't be so bad that everything has to keep going through the winter just to get back to where we were. That's what we're all hoping. It just hits and goes, and everybody can get back to normal as quickly as possible. So, our thoughts are with you all. We have so many friends, all of us down in Florida, that are connected with golf, obviously. I mean, we all know people that are down there. My in-laws are down there, so hopefully everything goes okay.
No doubt.
All right. Before we get to a little President's Cup and FedEx playoffs and all that stuff, and by the way, I'm looking at Twitter right now. So sometime last night, you put up "Remember that guy" on your Twitter account, which is at Golf Week Babs, BABZ, and it said "Remember that guy," and it's a 27-second clip from the PGA Tour of Tiger at the 2009 President's Cup. I miss Tiger Woods. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that was one of those incredible shots. He had the club twirl, and then he kept the club out, you know, with the arm. This was like an early dab.
Yeah.
And it was sensational. And, we missed those shots. You missed the electricity that guy nobody brought electricity to a tournament like Tiger Woods. So I did see he's back chipping and putting a little this week. So
yeah,
it's been a long road back. But, you know, if he could add to this mix of the current young guys,
that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, it would be pretty cool. You know, when it hits me, too, is when I'm watching golf on TV, and it used to be when they would start their programming, they would put all the pictures of the guys, and it was always start with Tiger, and you'd see Tiger doing stuff, and now he's not even on there. And it hits me every time. It's like, where is he? What happened? Yeah, it just really gets me. Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully we get him back in the mix at some point.
Yeah. All right. Before we go to those couple things I mentioned, you just got back from a trip to Ireland, which people that listen to my show know is my favorite place in the world, not only for golf, but just to be. And the pictures you sent back and the courses you played and everything, it looks like you had a pretty good time, pal.
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard not to have a good time when you go to Ireland. You know, they serve Guinness cold now. So
yeah.
That's a big plus.
Yeah.
And the golf courses are just absolutely stunning. There's so many courses that play along the ocean, and it's just, you know, I mean, I'm here in Florida. We have a pretty good-sized state, and you could probably count the number of holes that actually sit on the ocean, maybe on a hand, or it doesn't take much into your second hand.
Right.
And over there, they just fill you up with it. I mean, it's amazing what it does for your senses to walk around and see some of the beauty there and to be able to play in the elements. You know, we had rain gear on about, you know, probably 40% of the time.
Yep.
And it's just fun. You know, it's just fun. The people are great. The golf is great. Stayed in Killarney. That was fantastic. And, I mean, you can't go there and not have a great time.
Yeah, and I've been there twice, and the second time I went, I played and stayed at the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club right there. And,
perfect.
And, you know, I found it was so beautiful that it was distracting sometimes. I mean, you stand over a shot in a fairway, and all of a sudden your eye catches the water or the cliffs or the wherever you happen to be. And I have enough trouble playing golf as it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some of the shots, you in the winds and the conditions, I mean, I always take caddies over there. It's a part of the atmosphere and the flavor.
Yep.
And those that are good players, I'm always quizzing them on, how did you ever learn to score over here? I mean, it's basically surviving. If you have a scorecard in your pocket and you're trying to make a number over there, you're surviving a lot of days.
Yep.
And I'm always curious how these guys learn to score, and they do. And I think, you know, I was talking to Graham McDowell, I remember, a ways back, and when I was doing a piece on Shane Lowry from Ireland, and he says, you know, Ireland tends to build a tougher golfer, and you certainly can see why. We had a great trip. I went with my Folds of Honor buddies. That's a charity near and dear to my heart, Major Dan Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his dad over there. We had eight guys, and it's, you know, to me, it's the ultimate buddy trip. You know, I love Bandon Dunes. I mean, you can go do it in Scotland, but to go do it in Ireland and buzz around that country in a bus and have some fun, it's a pretty good experience.
I'm so jealous right now. I can't even tell you. If I weren't worried about you and your family and stuff there, I'd hate you right now. but I can't.
Hate me on Tuesday.
Okay, I will. Speaking with Jeff Babineau, you can follow him on Twitter at GolfWeekBabs, B-A-B-Z. And he is the senior writer for Golf Week magazine and golfweek.com. Quick story before we move on. The first time I played in Ireland, you mentioned caddies. I was playing at, I think it was Ballybunion, was my first round in Ireland. And
nice.
I had this old caddy, and we walked up, and about on the fourth hole, the guy I was playing with, who I didn't know, I went out as a single, he started walking up to the tee, and he turned back to me and said, did you make a par in the last hole? I said, go ahead. If you're ready, go ahead. And my caddy said, no, sir, don't ever do that. You earned that tee. Don't ever give it up. You have to earn the tee. And I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, there's stuff there that sticks with you. We once had a caddy and a buddy hit one way up high in the tall grass. at I think it was also a Bally Bunyan, and he said to the kid, he turned to the kid and he said, "Are we going to find that one?" And he says, "I will find it. It just won't be today."
Now every time I hit one in the long grass, I'm going to think about that.
It won't be today.
All right. Just quickly, your thoughts on the first two, obviously two great FedEx Cup events that we've had. We have the week off this week and then back at it for the final two.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the 11th year of the FedEx Cup playoff series, you know, four events. The whole idea was to kind of have meaningful golf. You know, the tour kind of used to just kind of fizzle out toward the end once you got past the last major of the year or maybe the Ryder Cup. And so you wanted meaningful golf this time of year. And I mean, the first two playoff events have just totally delivered. I mean, Jordan Spieth's been in the mix twice.
Yep.
And hasn't come away with a trophy. You know, you had Dustin Johnson jump back into form in New York, and then Justin Thomas. It was really impressed me this year. I mean, I know that this kid's a great player and he had the pedigree and you watched him come up, but I just always, I didn't see the entire picture with him. I just thought he goes at everything so hard. I don't see a lot of finesse at times in his game. So I just wondered, you know, how good he could really be. And I mean, he showed us this year how good he can be. It's what a sensational season getting his major and winning a playoff event. He's in the driver's seat for the player of the year. So kudos to him. And, you know, I hope the last two playoff events are as good as the first two we've seen.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say, when this whole thing started, I thought that this is just, as you said, a way to end the season with some interest. And, you know, but these guys, here they are, they're going to make all this money. And I don't it's surprised me how great the Fed – although I have to say, I really wish they would stop – posting FedEx Cup stuff like the first week of the year. I could do without the whole season. You know, in these four tournaments, it means something. If you miss a putt, you could miss the next event. So I get it. But, you know, there's something about, you know, in May when they're doing the FedEx Cup stuff just doesn't get
to me. Money still makes the world go round out there. I want to know how much a guy, you know, I want to know that this guy's made $4 million this year and not 4,000 FedEx Cup points. But I understand. They're trying to get it. It's hard because it's not, there's so much math involved. There's a guy out on tour, Tom Alter, and when you're playing these playoff events, he's got wives hanging around him asking what the different, you know, permeations are of their husbands making a birdie here, a bogey there. And it's hard to figure, but in the end, I mean, we know when you go to East Lake, if you're in that top five and you win, the cup is yours.
Right.
So it's created some exciting golf, and these guys are kind of rising to the occasion.
Yeah. All right. And we got about a minute left real quick. President's Cup thoughts. Pretty much what did you expect? We kind of thought Charlie Hoffman would get picked because he missed by 0.023 of a point or something. But did Phil surprise you at all?
No, because no one fully stepped up. You know, Pat Perez played well in the last week, but I mean, Stricker was waiting for someone to really step up in those last couple events, and the players love having Phil on that team.
Yeah,
Stricker wanted him to show something. He did that with a tie for sixth in Boston.
Yep.
And, I mean, he's on his 23rd team. I mean, that's an amazing streak to play on every U.S. Cup team since 1994.
Staggering.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. So, I'm glad. I know Phil struggled this year. It means a lot to him to be on that team. So, I'm glad he's there. I know it means a lot to him. And it seems to mean a lot to the players, too. So, you know, I think the internationals are going to be huge underdogs. And the U.S. only has to fight over confidence, I think.
Yeah. All right. We will certainly be thinking of you in the next few days, and there's nobody I enjoy talking to more than you. So stay safe, and we'll catch up with you a little down the road.
We will catch up soon.
All right, and then we can talk about
my tent down the road.
We can talk about your cheating Red Sox and what they did.
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it. Thanks.
See ya. That'll do it for this edition on this Sunday morning of Backspin Golf. Thanks to Jeff Babineau. You know, when I first got in touch with him last week about joining me on the show, I completely forgot about the fact that he lives in Central Florida near Orlando. And then he texted me back the next day and said, if I'm not underwater, I'd love to. As I said, as we were talking, so many of us that are involved with golf, if you're involved seriously with it, have friends or family that live in Florida. PGA Tour headquarters is there, obviously, the World Golf Hall of Fame, and so many writers and people involved with golf live in Florida. So it's going on, hopefully, on Tuesday or so, everybody will come out, and it won't be as bad as it seems to be, and our thoughts are with them, obviously. So my thanks to Jeff Babineau. He is right at the top of the list for me, right up there with my favorite people to talk to. And the same goes for Trevor Reisk, who joined us on the show. Go to tapingolf.com and check out his stuff. He's also, as I said, with SB Nation, and they're wonderful. All the people we deal with on Matthew and Mikey and Backspin Golf from SB Nation are great. And, of course, the always wonderful Perry French. Next week, back at it, FedEx Cup. Next week's show, we'll talk about what's going on with that as they head to Eastlake for the final 30 and the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup Championship and the $10 million that goes with it. Why didn't I start playing golf younger, Sean? Really? I mean, this is not that I don't love being here in the studio with you. Yeah, whatever. All right. Great job again by Frank Lyons and John Gaver preceding us on Riders Up and following us right now, Dan and Mary Jo, and I know they're great. They're always great. Thanks to French Lick, Edwin Watts Golf, and Lexington Parks and Rec. It's off to Kearney for me. Picadome yesterday. Great, great places. All right, thanks for listening. Have a great Sunday. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.